Good morning, everyone. And again, you're very, very welcome here this morning. And especially if you're visiting, you're more than welcome as well. It's really lovely to see visitors amongst us. I was thinking, as Len was speaking to the children there, it was obvious that he was speaking to the children, because I was thinking of things that I need to bring with me, or maybe some of us need to bring with us, like things like our medication, and maybe our hearing aid, our glasses. Len hasn't got there yet. But yes, very obvious speaking to the children, and that's beautiful. But the Holy Spirit, that's the person we need with us, isn't it? We're coming to the final part of our studies in John's Gospel, chapter 21, and verse 15 today. And let's ask the Lord just to help us as we read his word and study it and consider it together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we have an open book in front of us. Thank you that we don't have to be frightened to have our Bibles with us or to be worshipping together here publicly. Father God, we think of our brothers and sisters who find it so difficult in countries where it's dangerous and difficult to be a Christian. Lord, be with them this morning. Help us, Lord, as we look into your word now. Thank you for your teaching. Thank you for such a blessing to our hearts. Lord, speak to us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read from John's Gospel. We're just finishing them. That you may believe, this is what we've been thinking about. And it's John's reason for writing the Gospel, that you may believe. And this morning I've headed it, Love, Sacrifice and Obedience, John 21, 15 to 25. So let's just read the scriptures together from John 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. And when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to those things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. We leave the reading of God's word there as we study it together. So here we have come to the end of John's Gospel. The disciples, seven of them in this case, had gone back to do some fishing. Not just for an hour or two, but all night, and had caught nothing. And the Lord Jesus arrived early in the morning on the shore, and following his instruction, in moments they caught a miraculous net full of fish. John recognized it was Jesus, and they joined him for breakfast on the shore that Jesus had prepared. And this was the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection. So that's what we have in the early part of John 21. And in this second half of John 21, after having had their breakfast, as they sat or stood around the fire in the presence of the other six disciples, Jesus speaks specifically with Peter. And Jesus deals with these three things in his conversation with Peter. He talks about love in verse 15 to 17. He talks about sacrifice, verses 18 and 19. And he talks about obedience, verses 19 to 22. And this morning, as we conclude our time in John's Gospel, we'll consider these three things together. Love, 15 to 17. As we know, Peter had denied the Lord three times during his trial in the high priest's courtyard before Jesus was crucified. And now we have the Lord restoring Peter by asking him three times this question: do you love me? Of course, the Lord knew Peter's heart, but this was an invitation for Peter to publicly confess his love for the Lord before his fellow disciples, restoring him after his denials. Whose benefit was the conversation between the Lord and Peter for? Well, it was for Peter's benefit, let's start with. Definitely for Peter's benefit. It was for the benefit of the other disciples present. They overheard this conversation with Peter. And this is also for our benefit, each one of us here this morning. Because we can read these words that John penned down here in this gospel. Peter had let the Lord down on many occasions during their years together, but probably none more so than the three denials of Jesus. Peter had boasted that he would be faithful to the Lord, even if everyone else forsakes Jesus, he wouldn't. And yet he did. He let Jesus down. In the first question in verse 15, Jesus asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Two interesting things here. First, Jesus calls him Simon. Peter had given him the name Peter, but this is the name he had before he met Jesus and when he met Jesus first, and the Lord had changed his name. It was like Jesus was recalling him. It was like on the shore of Galilee that he had called him the first time, those 3 years ago, and now he refers to him again as Simon. Simon, son of John, do you love me? It's like, let's start again, a fresh start. The second thing he asks is, do you love me more than these? What are the these, you might ask yourself? Was it maybe the nets and boats and fishing? Do you love me more than your career? It could be. Do we love Jesus more than these things? Or is he asking Peter, do you love me more than you love this group of men, these? It could be that also. Is Jesus the number one love in your life? Or are there others that you love more than you love Jesus? Do you love me more than these group of men? Or is he asking, do you love me more than these men here love me? For Peter, this may have been the emphasis. Because Peter had boasted that he loved Jesus more than anyone else. Peter said in Matthew 26:33, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. And then also in verse 35, after Jesus is just after telling him that he would deny him three times, Peter says, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Love for the Lord Jesus is the key for any disciple. It is the most important question that each of us needs to answer. Do I love Jesus? Do I love God? This is the key issue here this morning in Jesus' questioning of Peter. He would ask each one of us the same question. Put your name in there as you consider Jesus' question. David, do you love me? Insert your name. Do you love me? What is your answer to the Lord's question this morning? Peter's answer in verse 15 to the Lord's question, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Was, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, as we know, the Bible wasn't written originally in English or even in King James English. The New Testament was written in the Greek language of the time. And while in English there is the one word for love, in Greek there are a number of words for love with different meanings. And these verses today, there are two words for love used in the original Greek. One is agape, which is the highest love, a divine love. And the other is filio, which is a brotherly love. And in verse 15, the Lord asked Peter, do you love me with the highest love, that agape love? And Peter responds, Lord, you know that I love you like a brother. Peter uses the filio word. Peter has been humbled by the denials of by what the Lord has done for him on the cross. and by what the Lord has done for him on the cross. Before the cross, he may well have used the agape word for love in response to our Lord's question. It shows now Peter with a much more humble heart. Not one of us wishes to fail our Lord. None of us wishes to sin against him and fall away in any way. But God can use us when we fail him. Humility, when we come back to our loving, forgiving Saviour, recognising that we are still human and he is divine. John writes in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he, that is the Lord Jesus, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's a humbling experience each time we sin. And yes, the verse says sins, plural. We do sin. But when we come back to the Lord Jesus in confession, to be forgiven by a faithful and just Saviour, what a beautiful experience. Don't we see a much more humble Peter right here? He isn't boasting about his love for the Lord being greater than anyone else's love. In verse 16, a second time, the Lord asked Peter the very same question, using the very same agape word for love. And again, Peter responds using the filio, brotherly love word. Yes, Lord, I love you. And then Jesus says in a third time, in verse 17, to Peter, do you love me? But this time the Lord uses the filio word instead of the agape, higher love word. Peter, do you love me like a brother? And Peter again responds by saying, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Here again, Peter uses the filio, brotherly love word. I guess Peter was hurt because of the interchange of words for love. And when the Lord asked him, do you love me, with a brotherly love rather than a higher love? But I think he was more grieved that the Lord asked him the question three times. Jesus was matching the threefold denial with a threefold confession of love and restoration of Peter on the fire after breakfast in front of those six other disciples and a Saviour. Jesus was restoring and reinstating Peter. More than anything else, Jesus wants our love. Maybe when you come to Westside, you might think what God really wants from you is your worship. Or what God really wants from you is your obedience. Well, yes, but what God really wants from you first and foremost is your love. Why? Because if you love him as you should, everything else will follow. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for Christ's love compels us. But we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And Jesus in his letter tells us we love because he first loved us. What an example of love the Saviour gives us. Jesus didn't ask Peter three times, will you worship me or will you obey me? No, he asks him, do you love me? If you really love God the way that you should, won't you worship him as you should? Won't you obey him as you should? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, the greatest commandment. Now we glossed over three other things in these verses that Jesus says to Peter. Each time Peter responds to Jesus saying, you know that I love you, Jesus says something. In verse 15 he says, feed my lambs. In verse 16 he says, take care of my sheep. In verse 17 he says, feed my sheep. And these commands are very powerful. And notice here, Peter was not out of a job. He had a God-given task to do. Jesus didn't say to Peter, I don't want you. You failed me. You denied me. Keep away from my people. No, the Lord Jesus lovingly restores Peter and has a work for Peter to do. And it doesn't involve fish. It involves sheep. Well, I suppose in a way it did involve fish, as Peter was to give up his life as a fisherman. We don't ever read of him returning to his old trade again after this. But back in Matthew 4:19, when Jesus first called Peter, while he was casting his net into the waters of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. I will make you a fisher of men. You know, we all have that same calling here this morning as we live for Jesus and serve him. We are all fishermen in that sense. An interesting contrast I read about fishing for fish and fishing for men. When you go fishing for actual fish, you catch something that's alive and then it dies. Whereas when you're fishing for people, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus, you catch someone who is dead in their sin and they become alive in Christ when they are saved by the grace of God through his Holy Spirit. Back to Jesus' responses to Peter's confession of love three times. It's about sheep feeding and tending. Whose sheep? The Saviour's sheep. Jesus says, my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. There's a work for Peter to do for his Lord and Saviour, to feed and tend the Master's sheep, Jesus' sheep, his flock. Twice Peter is told to feed them, and once he is told to tend them. And this reminds us of the importance given over to the church for spiritual feeding of God's word to the congregation. Why do we here put so much emphasis in spending time teaching the word of God as part of our Sunday worship and in our midweek get-togethers? Giving spiritual food needed from God's word, feeding the flock with God's help. I trust you pray for us weekly, as week by week we prepare and present God's word. It is a heavy responsibility, and one that's not taken lightly. Please keep us in prayer in this task as we seek God's wisdom and help in this. We believe that what God has given to us in this book is food for the soul, in God's own precious words written down by godly people as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They are God-breathed words, as 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Jesus did say twice, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, but he also said, take care of my sheep in verse 16. As well as feeding, there is taking care of the Lord's sheep. There is more than feeding from God's word, as important as that is, and that is coming alongside God's people, caring for each one, leading, protecting, and ministering to them. Being a shepherd to them, tending the sheep. I'll admit, I know that I fall short in this aspect of tending of God's flock as an elder of Westside. We so miss having a pastor who can give time to this. I trust you are praying with us for God to supply us with a pastor, his man for the task here at Westside. Please pray earnestly with us in this. In the meantime, please pray for us as elders that we can give more time to this ministry, to his flock, his sheep. Pray for the empowering of the Holy Spirit for us in this. We thank the Lord for the help of many of you around us. We know there are folk here who visit, who text, who message and phone each other to encourage and communicate and have fellowship with one another, spiritually and physically, tending to the needs of others in the congregation and building others up. And we are so thankful to God for you and your service for the Lord in tending of his sheep. May we encourage you all to encourage one another in love as you tend for each other in our church. It's so, so important. We know it's not just a matter of feeding sheep, but also tending them. Please be patient and gracious with us in this. So here Peter proclaimed his love for Jesus, and that is the first and foremost what the Lord wants from us. Everything else will follow. The chapter in love in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 13 ends with these words, and now these three remain, faith, hope and love, but the greatest of these is love. And in Colossians 3:14, Paul lists a number of things as believers we should clothe ourselves with, compassion and kindness and humility, etc. But in verse 14 he says, over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in unity. A committed Christian is characterized by their love for the Lord Jesus. Secondly, sacrifice, 18 and 19. It seems after breakfast that Jesus and Peter were walking together, as in verse 20 we read that the disciple whom Jesus loved, as John liked to describe himself, was following them within earshot, it seemed. And Jesus gives Peter a glimpse into his future as to the kind of death he will have. In verse 18, someone is going to lead you and take you a prisoner to a place where you do not want to go. Someone is going to stretch out your hands. Verse 19 explains the significance of what Jesus said. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Peter finds out here from the Lord Jesus that he's going to be a martyr, a crucified martyr. According to tradition, some 30 years or so later, Peter stretched out his hands and was crucified in the city of Rome, and he died in utter faithfulness to Jesus, his Messiah. Tradition says, not sure how true it is, that Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified the way his Saviour was. Peter died in faithfulness to Jesus. This was sacrifice. This was taking up your cross and following the Lord. As in Luke 9:23, Jesus commands us, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross daily and follow me. Faithful, sacrificial service to the end for Peter. You might say to yourself, that's really bad news. Why would the Lord tell him that? Peter was being told by Jesus that the next time he got himself into a life or death situation and the end of his life, he would not deny his Lord. Peter needed to know that. Peter would glorify God even unto death. The ultimate sacrifice that Peter could give, not for salvation, I might add, but for service and for the glory of God. Peter knew that even in his final days, he was not going to leave the Lord down or deny him again. And this must have filled him with confidence and boldness. I believe many of our brothers and sisters living in countries where it is difficult or even dangerous to follow the Lord, to be a child of God, experience this kind of sacrificial living for Christ, the extreme requirement for a committed life to the Saviour. Yet they are so faithful. A committed Christian is characterized by their love for the Lord Jesus and by their sacrifice for the Lord Jesus. And thirdly then and finally, their obedience for the Lord Jesus. At the end of verse 19, when Jesus had foretold what kind of death Peter was going to glorify God, he said, follow me. Follow me must have echoed in his memory as he remembered back those 3 years or so previously when he first met Jesus and heard those words recorded in Matthew 4:19, come, follow me. And Peter gets that invitation here once again. Are you with me? Jesus asks him. But now Peter gets distracted. He turns around and spots John following them and says to Jesus, Lord, what about him? So I'm going to be crucified. What about him? Typical Peter. Typical me. And I guess typical you. Jesus is challenging me and you. He is speaking to your heart. He is laying it on you. But you're thinking about so-and-so. I hope they're getting this. This is exactly for them, when it's actually just for you. We so often look to deflect God's voice to others when it's meant for us. Look how Jesus answered Peter's question in verse 22. If I want him to stay alive until return, what is that to you? This is between you and me, Peter. It's none of your business, basically, about the other. It's a personal relationship between you and the Lord. And the Lord repeats the words again to Peter in the end of verse 22. You must follow me. Jesus is saying that to each one of us individually, just as he said it to Peter on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. You must follow me. I trust this morning you are a follower of the Lord Jesus. If not, please do not delay. Give your heart to Jesus today. He calls you, each one individually, to follow him. It's not what about him, it's what about you. John puts to bed a rumor that was being spread around. In verse 23, Jesus didn't say that this disciple would not die, but that if I want him to remain, what is that to you? John needed to correct this misunderstanding that was circulating. And we know from our reading of the rest of the New Testament that Peter obeyed the Lord, and even just shortly after this, preached that bold, courageous, and powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem in Acts 2. A committed Christian is characterized by their obedience to the Lord Jesus. And just to conclude, we have these two final verses of John's Gospel. This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. And we know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. John says in verse 24, I was there. I can testify that all these things written are true. I also ate the fish and the bread. by the fire on the seashore. I heard all these teachings of Jesus. I saw the miracles he performed. I witnessed the crucifixion. I saw the empty tomb. I met the risen Lord. I was there. And in verse 25, John says, Jesus did many other things as well, too much even to record in books. Jesus is still doing many other things today. He is still building his church. He is still working in and through the lives of his followers. Jesus Christ is alive today. We serve a risen Savior. I trust that today Jesus Christ is living and reigning in your life, and that for you he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, my Jesus, my Savior. Follow him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we consider a response to love, sacrifice, and obedience to your Son, the Lord Jesus, help us to follow him as he commands us. Thank you for the way you restore the Apostle Peter, and for the way you restore us when we fail you and sin against you. Help us as we listen to your word, as we yield to your will, and as we follow your way. We pray this morning for any here who need your restoration. Lord, we know you want us to be right with you. Help us to come before you in humbleness today and confess our sins and failings to you. Like Peter, Lord, help us to respond to your call. You must follow me. And we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We conclude by singing a song, number 295. Number 295 in our books. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Number 295. Let's stand and sing this lovely song together, affirming that Jesus lives.